Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from our wild animal compound in the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio, and we want to wish everyone a very happy holiday as you sit with us tonight and enjoy our program and tell your friends about us so they can listen to it in archives. We are so happy back as our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, our technical engineer, Wayne Larson. They had a little sabbatical.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, that's right. So it's great to have them back. And as always, from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, the Honorable Distinguished and Holiday Ready, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. You are right. I am holiday ready. After tomorrow, I'm off for 2 weeks.
Oh, my.
Yes.
But hide the children. This isn't right for society that you're going to be loose on our community for 2 weeks.
Yep. That's just the way it is. I do it every year. It's a must.
Well, you have anything planned for the 2 weeks?
Absolutely nothing, which means I won't have any time to enjoy myself at all.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll have to get together.
Yes, we will.
We'll do some type of research. I have no idea what that research will be, but I'm sure it will be important, historical, and mind-numbing.
That goes without saying, yes.
And I also have to tell you, Dr. Day, while we have a moment here, that you know our driveway, that toboggan run we have?
Oh, yes, the greatest runway in the world.
Well, we have to keep it salted because we do have to go to places like the grocery and programs, school programs with our animals. But yesterday, we were coming back from, let's see, where was I? Or we, I should say, my wife and I and the critters. Well, it doesn't matter. So we got about three-quarters up the old driveway before it come to a sliding stop.
I've been there. That's not a good feeling.
Which means I had to back the animal truck on a sheet of ice back down our driveway and to make a second attempt.
There's a small bridge and a creek down there, so you have to aim carefully.
You know, and I've had nightmares about that small bridge and creek of actually plummeting into it. And I've come darn close over the years.
Yes, we all have.
Right now. But after a little bit of effort, God bless my wife, we finally made it up to the top of the hill. That was my major accomplishment. And as I was backing back down the hill, I was singing my own religious hymns to myself.
that hill's almost at a 45-degree angle.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, you have to get back and hit it about 30 miles an hour, put your foot in the accelerator, and don't let up.
Sure is good for sledding, though.
Oh, it's a blast. If I was younger, I'd do that.
We have to take it easy, kind of easy now.
Yeah, I know. I've been told that before. This half of Wild World is brought to you by Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot. Go to ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com with the brand new video, 6 hours from the weekend and expo that happened on April 26th, 27th, 28th. We were all there, Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, Billy Willard, Steve Calls, Bob Gimlin, and myself. And if you follow things like Finding Bigfoot or some of the Sasquatch programs on television, you need to download our video. It's only $4.99. Go to their website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for December 19th. Well, it's warmed up a little bit here in Indianapolis. It's 47 degrees. We have a little bit of snow on the ground and a light fog to go with the warmth.
Love that fog.
Yeah, it's kind of eerie and romantic at the same time.
Oh.
All right, well, we're going to start the Wild World News out tonight in the land of Dr. Day. We're going to Kansas.
Oh, think of that.
Wichita. Now, a flamingo that escaped from the Sedgwick County Zoo in 2005 has been spotted again, this time in Texas. Yes, he's having a little holiday vacation. Now, the flamingo, known as number 492, that's the number on his leg band, was seen last week off the Texas Gulf Coast.
Oh, my.
Yes. Now, if you see a bright pink bird and you're not familiar with what kind it is, please report it because we are tracking number 492.
Wow, it traveled quite a distance.
Oh, yeah. Out in the middle of Kansas. And I imagine he'll probably end up in Florida somewhere.
And who's going to find... Yeah, it's got a little tag on its leg with the number 492, and you're supposed
yep.
to identify that. And then, oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord. What if it lands in somebody's front yard that has those plastic pink flamingos, you know?
And there's a good chance of that. He could land in my... I've got several. He could land in my backyard.
Oh, I hope so. And take video.
Yeah, I'll bring him in the house.
Okay.
All right. Well, a couple of months ago, we reported on the two new giant pandas born at the Zoo Atlanta.
Yes.
Mi-Hung and Mi-Loon. Mm. Well, apparently DNA tests show that the pandas are not boys. They are girls.
I heard that.
So, yeah, we're sorry for reporting that, but that's the news that was delivered to us, and they are girls.
You know, can't always depend on these sources.
Yep, that's right. Kind of like the Animal Planet.
Yeah, don't believe everything you hear on Animal Planet.
That's exactly. All right, now here's an interesting story from Huntington Beach, California. Joseph Ally said that onlookers thought he was drunk when he dove into the nighttime waters around Huntington Beach Pier. But he came out of the water with a monster of a lobster.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it weighed 18 pounds.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, now even a 5-pound lobster is considered trophy-sized.
It is. That's, my gosh.
Yes, now we're not sure exactly how he did it, but he retrieved the lobster, and it probably took that lobster around 30 years to get up to 18 pounds.
My goodness, what is he going to do with it?
Well, I imagine there's some butter involved there.
Oh, that's a shame.
That is
a shame.
All right, let's check out God's country, Aspen, Colorado.
God's country filled up with snobs.
Yeah, a bear wandering around Basalt doesn't seem to realize it's almost Christmas. Yeah, the bear, apparently disturbed during hibernation, has been seen wandering around town looking for food.
Oh.
Which is pretty odd this time of the year, but stranger things have happened.
And they have.
All right, we've got a rare sighting in Rosmond, North Carolina. Now, at least 300 bird watchers have descended on the western North Carolina farm to get a rare glimpse of a snowy owl. Yeah. 300 bird watchers. Now, the bird watchers from South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee traveled to Ricky Maben's farm in Upper French Broad River Valley to get what's described as the first known sighting of a snowy owl in western North Carolina in modern history.
What kind of owl was that again, Dr. Day?
That would be a snowy owl.
Oh, okay. Okay, just a second.
Yeah.
300 showed up, huh?
Yeah.
Gosh, how did they all crowd in there to get a picture of one poor little owl?
Yeah, and the poor little guy was probably terrified and probably didn't last very long.
Well, owls aren't that smart. He probably hung around there forever. You know, I have a feeding station in my backyard right now for crows and hawks. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, you mentioned something to the fact that you have a feeder out there.
Well, it's a wheelbarrow is what it is. And after I feed the tigers every once in a while, I'll leave a little piece of meat in there. And we've got a poor crow that he's had an injury. He's got a wing that he can't fly very well, so he'll come back to it, and he'll eat that. And today I went out there, got up this morning, looked out there, and there was a red-tailed hawk in the wheelbarrow, and the crow wasn't very happy as it sat within a few feet of it.
Yeah, because they're enemies.
Well, they are, and, you know, as I was telling my wife Cheryl, it's not right because hawks are not usually scavengers. So, don't believe what you read.
Well, he saw that crow having a good time, and
well, the smorgasbord.
Be part of it.
Yes.
Now, do you know why the crow sat on the telephone wire?
Why?
He wanted to make a long distance call.
Oh, God. Oh, I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah, let's get on with this. Now, we got a couple of weird alligator stories.
Oh, my.
Port Huron, Michigan. The city council voted to allow American alligators in the central business district.
Why is that?
Yeah, thus clearing the way for Wally, the alligator, to greet guests at the Cajun Gator restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's, it's interesting. Where was that at again?
In Port Huron, Michigan.
In Michigan?
Yes.
Oh. I thought that's what you said. That doesn't make any sense at all.
And nor do I.
They know they have to take it inside in the wintertime, I assume.
I just don't understand. We'll do another story on this and see how that's going. But to allow alligators in the Central Business District in Michigan, that's kind of a confusing thing. Anyway.
I'd like to just take a truckload over there and just challenge them. See if they'd say anything to me.
There we go.
Yeah.
We have a mission.
You got 2 weeks off. We might
over
just
the
go
holidays,
up there.
Yes, that's what we're doing then.
Filling the truck full of gators and going to Michigan.
All right. Well, let's... Here's our next bizarre gator story from Miami.
Oh, there we go.
Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officials said that a man tried to trade a live alligator for beer at a Miami convenience store.
I saw that.
The man received a citation for illegally capturing and trying to sell the 4-foot-long gator for a 12-pack of beer. No, I would think it. You know, you could get at least a case of beer for a 4-foot alligator.
Poor gator. Gosh almighty.
Yeah, now I've got a story for you. Back in the early 70s, I had flown into Miami from Panama and had decided to hitchhike up to Tampa.
Yeah.
While I was hitchhiking on the way, I was picked up by a van of, I guess you'd call them hippies in those days.
Yeah.
And I told them, they said they were going pretty close to Tampa, and I said, well, I'll buy you a case of beer if you'll take me as far as you can. So they thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
So we stopped at some little bar in the Everglades, and I had long hair in those days, and when I walked into the bar, the good old boys were staring me down, you know, like, what's this boy doing here?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I told the bartender that I wanted a case of beer.
Oh.
And then he lit up like, oh, everybody in there only had like $2 or $3 on them. So I had enough to buy a case of beer. So I became a hero. But while I was waiting to retrieve my refreshments, a man came in the door with a rattlesnake on a stick.
Mm.
And he said, I just killed this one. Can I get a 6-pack of beer for it? Bartender handed him a 6-pack of beer and he was gone.
Really? That's a true story?
True story, yep.
My goodness. Well, I guess
it's in the Everglades.
I'll be darned. I guess they eat them in Florida. You know, they eat everything in Florida.
Sure.
You know, wild hogs.
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like... No, I'll tell you what, the wild hog is darn good.
No, I mean the rattlesnake.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I could never eat one. I've had too many of them as friends.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we did have, many years ago at Christmas time, we did have a Russian wild boar.
It was good, too.
That you smoked on the smoker, yes.
Yeah, it was really good.
Excellent.
It was wild.
It was.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on with this. We've got a bodyboarder on the big island of Hawaii was attacked by a tiger shark.
I heard.
Yeah, now, fortunately, he's doing fine. And the Big Island police said in a statement that he'd received non-threatening injuries, but hey, you can bet he's still in the hospital.
Yes, he probably is, you know.
All right, now, good thing it's cold in Juneau right now. Juneau, Alaska, a local soup kitchen and shelter has received, listen to this, more than 9 tons of individually wrapped frozen salmon steaks.
Oh.
Yes. Now, the donation, which had been estimated a retail value of more than $100,000, was made by the Seattle nonprofit SeaShare program.
Mm.
Yeah, now, the good thing is it's cold enough that they should be able to keep...
Yeah.
9 tons of individually wrapped salmon steaks.
Can you imagine how good those are, those wild-caught salmon?
Yeah, and how much room they take up.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, eat hearty.
Anyway, what a nice thing.
Till spring, things start to thaw out. Then you'll have a big grizzly bear bait.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a lot of creatures want to share in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, see, there's something else we can do over the holidays.
Well, hell, let's go to Juneau, Alaska.
Have some salmon steaks.
And go eat some salmon, yeah. Hope they share. We'd be mad if we get up there and they wouldn't feed us.
I'm sure they would. Besides, we have good friends and listeners there in Alaska. So.
Oh, of course we do.
All right, now here's a helping hand story out of Jackson, Mississippi. The Hattiesburg Zoo agreed to adopt a pelican with an amputated wing after kayakers rescued it from the Pelahatchie Bay. Yes, a little injured pelican. Now, Brandon, or Jerry Hamilton from Brandon, found the bird tangled in a cypress tree. He climbed the tree, rescued the bird, and Hattiesburg Zoo has agreed to take care of it.
Well, good for him.
And that goes on all the time. You do it, I do it. We, you know, we try to help out where we can.
Oh, I know, and of course, Mrs. Swihart, who'll be on in just a little bit, you know, they raised all kinds of blankets and food and for the local shelter there in Warsaw,
right.
Indiana.
That
and all these kind
job.
Of efforts are just, they're just so good, especially this time of year. Just special. You know what I do for Christmas?
Tell us.
Well, I've got my landing spot ready for Santa Claus. So if they come, if they take this route up toward Indiana, which of course they do, but if he needs to get take a break, we've got a perfect landing spot. And I already have the oats and I have the hay out there for the reindeer.
Wow, how nice.
Oh, I know. And I got a little shot of something special for Santa. And
yeah.
Then he'll take off again and he'll be very happy.
And he might leave
happy.
You some extra presents.
He might. You never know. I haven't been a very good little boy, though.
You've been good and bad, and hopefully mostly good.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
All right, well, we've got a sad story out of San Antonio. A Komodo dragon has died in a fire there at the zoo.
Oh, that's too
bad. Now, a lot of the other animals were safely evacuated, and as we know, every time we lose a Komodo, they're an endangered species. It's a bad thing.
Yeah. Not a lot of zoos have them. That's just an unfortunate accident. Nothing
you
can do
right.
about that.
And maybe our guest tonight, Doug Hoda, will be able to and you know tell us a little more about this since he's so close.
Yeah, maybe. If
All
he
right,
shows up.
Strange story out of St. Louis. Scientists with the Department of Conservation are using DNA testing to find out whether the animal shot and killed last week by a hunter is a canine. The animal is so strange, they're not really sure what it is. They think it might be a wolf. They think it might be a dog. They're just not sure.
And where was this at?
In St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, God, St. Louis. Hard to say what it is. Don't ever get lost in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You'll be chased by packs of those animals. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a scary town. I'm sorry to all of our St. Louis listeners. It's a scary town. If you get off the Interstate 70, you might. You never know.
Been probably 60 times in my lifetime.
Well, if you've ever watched Christmas Vacation, that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, we're running a little long. Let's try the. Let's do the local news.
Okay, good.
All right, a rare set of John James Audubon's The Birds of America, the giant book, which was once the property of a private school in southern Indiana, where they were just oversized books of bird pictures that were used by students. Now, this book was purchased in 1933 for $4,000 for the Indiana Historical Society.
Oh, we love that.
Now, come next April, the beautifully rendered catalog of America's native birds, which for the last 80 years has been the property of the Indiana Historical Society, will go up for auction at Sotheby's, with a minimum asking price of $3 million.
Oh, $3 million, wow.
Yes, the book's enormous. It appears to be like 4 foot by 5 foot.
Where are they going to auction that at?
At Sotheby's.
Sotheby's. Oh,
Sotheby's.
Okay. Yeah, Sotheby's.
Sotheby's, yes.
Sotheby's, yeah.
All right, well, I want to let our listeners know that we got the Ursid meteor showers this weekend.
Oh.
Now, the best time is pre-dawn, and look to the north. But
to the north.
Most of the weekend, Saturday night and Sunday night, they vary a day or so from the peak,
hell,
which is actually early Sunday morning. But if you're able to view, if your skies are clear, get out there and look for the shooting stars.
Well, I'll do that.
I think that's the wild world news for December 19th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's always wonderful how they accumulate all the latest news about our animal kingdom. We appreciate the efforts that they do go through each week for us. We also want to mention, everyone, go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs. And, hey, why not make a contribution to help our animals? It's very easy to do. Just go to LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. And also our book, Alphabet Swamp, what a great stocking stuffer. It's autographed to whomever you'd like it to have us send it to. And it's only $10 a copy. That's our brand-new book by myself and my wife, Cheryl. Alphabet Swamp. Uh-oh, it's that time for our Teacher of the Year. Very special, very Amy Swihart's here.
Woo!
Whoa.
What? Where's my music?
Where's her music? There we go.
Oh, yeah. Get enough of kids.
Oh,
by
I know.
By the way, you notice I have lost my voice almost all the way again.
Oh, I bet that makes your husband so happy.
Oh, I don't even talk to him. I haven't seen him in years. No.
I know what's going on. You've lost your voice from yelling at the first graders because this time of year they're about ready to spontaneously combust.
This is first graders gone wild this weekend, pretty sure. Yeah.
Mrs. Swihart, did you hear that KISS is going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I did. I was going to mention that. Yes, I did, finally. What took so long?
And it looks like Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley are going to talk again.
I saw that, too. Well, I know. I got them together. I've been working on them for years to do that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, the world can just thank me. But you know what? I was telling somebody that, and they said, you know, I already thought they were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I said, you know what most of the world thought they were? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I've been there, and they've got a bunch of Kiss memorabilia, like Gene Simmons' dragon boots. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it's about time.
So Merry Christmas to me, right?
Yeah.
Now, if they would just, you know, contact me, but they don't, of course. But I know you're working on them. I know you're working on them, Larry.
We are, yeah.
You're going to get them to the show.
Yes, we are.
And it'll probably be the time when I have absolutely no voice. But, yeah, it's, no, I don't know. I mean, I feel perfectly fine. I just always sound like, I think it's just talking too much. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
that.
I make a terrible radio girl after all. I'm not sure.
No.
You know what it really was? I'm blaming a lot of it on the fact that I read Junie B. Jones to my class. I love Junie B. Jones books. And I get very animated. I'm loud. The whole school can practically hear me when I'm reading. And I'm pretty sure that our theater here in town, the Wagon Wheel Theater, probably needs me on the stage. Yeah, because I can sing real well, let me tell you. Which, by the way, I remember Billy's comment about my singing. I still have not gotten over that scar.
What did he exactly say?
I gave it my best shot. I know. I will never forget that. I want it on my tombstone. She gave it her best shot. I said it right now on radio. A lot of people heard me. It needs to be on my tombstone when I die, whenever that is. She gave it her best shot. It works for everything. It works for singing. It works for teaching. It works for parenting. It works for, what else does it work for?
Oh,
radio.
Radio.
You know, cooking.
Yeah. We give it our best shot every week.
Yeah, well, okay, so I was reading Junie B. Jones, and there's Junie B. Jones has, well, Barbara Parks, the author, by the way, which she passed away from ovarian cancer probably about a month ago, which was really sad because that probably means there's no more, obviously that means there's no more Junie B. books coming along. But there's two Christmas ones, Junie B. Jones, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, and the other one is Junie B. Jones and the Yucky Blucky Fruitcake. So I decided I'm going to read Junie B. Jones and the Yucky Blucky Fruitcake. I had a ton of fun. I got down to the last two chapters, and I invited our principal to the classroom because I said, you know, hey, so if you don't have anything else to do, because, you know, principals just sit around and do nothing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I said, you need to come down and join us. We're, you know, celebrating our last two chapters of one of our favorite books. And he came down like a good sport, and I had him sit next to another student. I read with all my drama. And I'm sure there might have been some near pants peeing going on, but I'm talking about me. No. But anyway, I read the last two chapters, and what happens in the story really fast is Junie B. Jones' school is having a carnival, and Junie B. Jones practiced at home by doing carnival games because she wanted to be, you know, a winner. And so when she got to the carnival, she competed in these games, and she didn't lose any, or she didn't win any of them. She lost them all because she practiced like the clothespin drop where you drop it into a milk jug. She dropped it into a bucket. Well, duh, that's easier, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, when she got to the real carnival, she could not drop a clothespin in the milk bottle. So anyway, she was a failure. So she goes to the cakewalk, and she wins at the cakewalk, the very last event of the night. And her mother tells her she can have any cake on the table. And she picks a fruitcake. And then her mother says, no, 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 Junie B. Not that one. And Junie B's like, you said I could pick any cake, and I want this one. It was so heavy she had to drag it all the way home. But she was not going to give in. So anyway, at the end, I had a fruitcake. I whipped out a fruitcake for my class.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Really?
I personally hate fruitcake.
Amen.
I mean, I hate it.
Okay, well, on that note, I'm going to jump in now because I think we, don't quote me, but I think we have the guest on the line. He's calling in from a 505 area code. If not, we'll just find out who this person is.
who is this person?
Did you put him
it
through,
is
Wayne?
Me.
It's the guest. Oh,
it
no.
is indeed.
It is.
All right.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Can I finish my story real fast?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, I asked the principal, I said, would you help pass out this fruit cake? And he said, of course. And I gave the kids each a small piece. And none of them had ever had fruit cake. So here's what they're doing. Why do we get such a small piece, Mrs. Flyhart? Why is it so tiny? And I said, boys and girls, if you like it, I'll be happy to give you more. And, of course, all the kids take a bite. They're so excited. And you don't really hear much of anything except a couple kids. One kid says, what are the green things? And another kid goes, there's a lot of brown things in here. And one of the kids says, this looks like barf. And I took a bite. Of course, I hate it, you know, but I didn't tell them I hated it because that would not be a good teacher thing to do.
Yeah.
I said, and the principal said the same thing. And pretty soon one of the kids raises their hand and they said, if we don't like it, can we throw it away? And I said, oh, I'm just so glad you tried something new. Absolutely. If you don't like it, feel free to put it in the trash. And the whole class got up and went to the trash can, except two. I had two kids like it.
Oh, really?
And as a matter of fact, the one kid liked it so much, well, both of them got seconds. At the very end of the day, I had a third of the fruitcake left. At the very end of the day, the one kid came up to me and he goes, Mrs. Flyhart, I was hoping I could have another piece of that fruitcake before I went home. And I said, oh, sweetie, take the rest home. And he lived with his dad, and I said, you and your dad can share this for dessert tonight. I said, no. They were so adorable, though. It was just one of the fun moments. But
stop getting rid of the fruitcake.
Yeah, that's a good move. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few moments with Doug Hodel. You're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
This bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, here's your host, Larry Bassett.
We'd like to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, for underwriting this part of Larry Bassett's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. What a great place to spend a vacation, Estes Park, Colorado. They've had some tough times, you know, 20 inches of rainfall one evening this fall and did a lot of damage, but they're rebuilding. It's all great right there on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. I'll tell you, you can see the most amazing wildlife in your backyard at Estes Park, Colorado. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. They make it possible for us to be on Blog Talk Radio, and we appreciate Michael Hodges, the proprietor, and all the fine folks that helped put that together. We have a great guest tonight. I should say, hold on one moment. I've known him for some time. In fact, when we were based in Speedway, Indiana, as a youngster, he used to peek his head over the fence and want to see the animals. And now he's a big shot at the Bio Park in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I hope we have him online. Doug, you there?
I am. Good evening, Larry.
Good evening. We'd like to introduce you to Mrs. Swihart.
Hello, Doug. I don't normally sound this horrible. Sorry.
Neither do I.
And, of course, the Honorable and Distinguished Dr. Henry Day.
Good evening, Doug.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing fine.
Great.
We were just reminiscing about you earlier before the show went on the air.
I try not to anymore.
Well.
Oh, wait, I missed that. Maybe you should share.
Yes. Well, Doug, as a youngster, well, you tell him, Doug. Tell him how we got together.
Well, like you said, Larry, I used to do a lot of snake hunting down at the local creek down there. And one day passing, I passed by a sign that said Reptile World, and I was very intrigued at what was going on. So I poked around and looked around a little bit, and I climbed up on the fence and looked over, and it was amazing, the animals back there. Just everything exotic. There were lions, there were bears, there was all kinds of good stuff. And one of the guys came running around the fence. What are you doing? I said, I was just looking. Well, you can't see from there. Come on in. So I was invited on in, and kind of the rest is history. I ended up hanging out there, and I think I spent from probably 12 years old to who knows how old there. Big part of my life, and if it wasn't for that place and it wasn't for you guys, I'd never be where I am today.
Well, that's awful nice of you to say that. Doug's now the big shot herpetologist and in charge of all the reptiles at the Biopark Zoo in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and now has the opportunity to work with all a variety. Well, okay, what have you been doing lately at the zoo?
Oh, boy. Right now it's our slow time of year, so I'm kind of working on some exhibits and such, and we're gearing up again. We do a lot of native species work. I believe in, you know, global conservation is great, but you've really got to work in your own backyard as well. And as much as people don't like to admit it, New Mexico is part of the world, so we do a lot of work here.
Wow.
And we do a lot of work down south, probably, about 4.5 hours south. We've been working with about 6 different species, and one of the species, the northern Mexican garter snake, had not been seen in the state for close to 20 years, and we were asked if we could go down and take a look and see if we needed to write that species off forever or what we were going to do, and we spent 3 years down there looking for that, and lo and behold, this spring we located a nice population of them, and they seem to be doing well where they're at. So next year we're going to go out and actually do some radio tracking and learn a little bit more about them. But it's really neat to kind of see a species that you thought was gone forever and to show up in some remote little creek bed. And so that was kind of our highlight of the year. So
pretty cool.
We never stop.
Wow.
Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I must live a boring life. My highlight is fruitcake.
Yeah, your fruitcake's been highlight of your life this week.
Yeah, fruitcake and making magic reindeer food, for pity's sakes.
Yeah.
And right now I'm doing magic keys for Santa.
Oh, well, there you go. Wow.
I know, see?
Yeah.
And you're off doing, like, things with wildlife and getting bit and eaten up and
well, don't feed fruitcake to wildlife. That's just, that's cruel.
No one deserves that stuff. Personally, fruitcake should go to prisoners. That's what I think.
Whoa.
Oh, well, it's a wild, it's a bound. I'm just, it's got to be healthy. It's got fruit in it. I don't know what fruits, but it's got fruit in it.
Yeah.
The little green fruits, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've never tried it before, but I will bet you $20.
You'll like it.
Oh, no. Do I like it? It's
no,
okay.
You probably will.
But if I offer a slice of that fruitcake to our baboon, it will not eat it.
No.
It'll come right back to you.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, if 17 out of 19 little kids won't eat it,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they eat their own boogers, for pity's sakes. They eat their own boogers and people not eat fruitcake. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it tells you they need to flavor fruitcake like boogers.
One of the kids goes, when they were trying to figure out the green things, one of the kids goes, well, I think it's green grapes. I thought, you go thinking that, but I'm pretty sure it isn't.
That's right.
Well,
I should have said it was boogers and they would have eaten it.
Yeah, there you go. So Doug, what did you know about the Komodo dragon? What zoo was that, Henry?
That was the San Antonio.
Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I used to work with that Komodo dragon. I've got a picture of me with that Komodo dragon. It's the folks here at the zoo are good friends of mine, and they're really devastated about
I'll
that.
I'll bet.
I had a student that said that he was getting a Komodo dragon as a pet.
That's a big pet to have.
They had to get rid of their
dog
because they had to get rid of their dog because it had fleas. And
yeah.
So their dad, he said, my dad says we're going to get a Komodo dragon.
That will effectively get rid of the dog, that's for sure.
And the fleas, yeah.
That's right.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
You know, there was probably a time you could probably buy a Komodo dragon.
You know, years ago, you probably could have. And you know, they're amazing animals. They're very very personable and you know, likable and very smart. Actually, you know, scientists have looked at monitor lizards, and you know, they can count, they can discern colors, and they're far more smart than we give them credit for. It. And we tend to think of everything in the animal world as stupid, but, you know, they've been around a lot longer than we have. So they're doing something right.
Yeah, well, I've always had a lot of respect for them, and I'm so envious of you to have the opportunity to be around one because I've never had that chance. I mean,
yeah.
And
amazing.
Oh, my Lord. Of course, then who was that Hollywood celebrity where they took him in?
That was Sharon Stone's boyfriend. He went in with no shoes on, and you know, when you feed something white rats and you walk in with your socks, you're kind of asking for trouble there. And you know, they got a mouthful of steak knives, and that's just, you know, that's a bite you don't want to get, that's for sure.
Well, people, if they don't realize this, in the wild they'll bite something and let go and just basically wait for infection to set in. They'll just stalk the animal
and
it collapses.
Yeah. Yep, it is. And, you know, they've even been looking at that saliva, and they found there, you know, it has an element of venom to it. And it will actually drop the blood pressure like a stone.
Really?
And, you know, when you're looking at these big water buffaloes and stuff that these things are chasing around, you think, well, if it's a venom, it sure doesn't kill them very quickly. Well, that's not a native species to the island. So, you know, it's not really a victim or a venom that has been really designed to take out that type of prey. But it's pretty nasty. I actually got an email today It's the first confirmed bite from a monitor lizard that caused kidney failure, kidney and liver failure. So we do know that there is a certain amount of venom to a lot of the monitor lizards. And we used to historically think that was only reserved for the Gila and the beaded lizards. And then we're finding out now that's not quite the case.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Wouldn't you like to be that lucky person?
Oh, we
what are the chances?
Doug and
I recall Larry taking a big lizard hanging off his thumb once.
It was a Savannah monitor, and I was trying to feed it a chicken neck, and it mistaked my thumb for the chicken neck, and there it was hanging off my thumb. It was about a 2-foot, 3-foot lizard.
At least that's all it got.
And that, thank God. And that was a good one. Of course, Doug and I, we could probably put a directory together of animals that we've been bitten by.
Oh, I think it's easier to just, put together a list of things that haven't bitten us. And, I had a gal once working at the zoo, and I was talking to the veterinarian, and he was telling me about the kinkajou that bit him. And he looked over and goes, well, Doug, you've been bit by a kinkajou. And I kind of pondered for a second, and the girl was standing there. She goes, oh, my God, you don't even know if you've been bit by a kinkajou? And I'm like, well, I probably have. I don't, how many things have bitten you? It's like, I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, I can remember.
I've been bit by a dog. And
oh,
one of
I
my
know.
Own children bit my toe once, but that's about it.
Children will bite. They're biters.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember doing a school program, and we just gotten this kinkajou to use in our education programs. And the fellow that was helping me at that time, he carries out the kinkajou. He hands it to me, and it got a prehensile tail, so he just has a hold of its tail and just kind of hanging there. And he hands it to me, and he whispers as I'm ready to talk about it in front of all these children, he goes, it bites.
Nice.
So there I was juggling the kinkajou for 5 minutes. Trying to make sure they couldn't clamp down really well.
But Larry, anything can bite.
Well,
that's true. I bite. I mean,
Oh,
This is true.
See?
Hey, speaking of biting, Larry, I got a good one for you. We just yesterday got in two pair of Tasmanian devils.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it's us and San Diego. We're the only two zoos in the country to have them. And we're part of this breeding program. I'm sure you're aware of the issue that is decimating Tasmanian devil populations with this nasty facial disease that they're getting.
Right.
It's actually a cancer. Mm-hmm. And so we are taking part in part of the program to breed these things and keep them free from this cancer and hopefully get them back out into Tasmania when we can find either a cure or this disease runs its course. So really cool little animals. I can't say enough neat about them. They're really, really cool. I haven't been bit by them yet, but, the day is young.
You just got them. Yeah.
Well, and I've heard marvelous things about guys who have handled them before.
Yeah,
we've
got a guy from who came over from Tasmania, Andrew, and he is just—he's an amazing guy with these, and he's very old school on how he does stuff, and he's probably one of the few people out there who consistently can breed these animals. And it's funny because he argues all the time with the PhDs, and they're, you've got to take blood, and we've got to look at this and this and this. And he's like, no, you just scruff them by the neck, and if they submit, they're ready to breed. It's like, you put your little charts and graphs away. We'll show you how it's done.
Well, yeah, God, you got to have the real animal handlers, I was reading in a certain directory the other day that our generation of animal handlers, this will probably be it. There won't be
any. Our government's going to be in charge of everything from here on out.
Yeah.
Which means nothing will be accomplished.
Yeah, and, I'm older, and I figure maybe I have hopefully another 20 years of doing it. But this generation, the things that we've seen, Doug, have been...
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
You'll never see it again. And yeah, things change very drastically, and I can't say it's always for the better. And
no.
But it's the new breed of animal people we have out there, loving the death. They're smart, but they'll never see and do the things that we did.
No.
Well, those people all have a degree, and they have the smarts, but, you know, that's not really necessarily what it takes.
Well, you're right, Mrs. Swihart. And as Doug can tell you, we can be around somebody for 5 minutes and say, hey, that person is an animal handler or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take long.
It sure takes a lot of guts, I'm sure.
It's either in you or it's not. And I've seen a lot of people that have tried for years and years. And they've gone on and got masters, and they've been working in the zoo field and such. And it's just, they just don't have it. And they never will.
That's how they try and convince people they do.
Good example, Jack Hanna.
That's a very good example.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I do not have it in me.
Well, at least you're honest.
I am. I'm just straight up honest. But you know what? I've got teaching in me. I do.
Oh,
I do think I have that. I work with people that don't have that in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can remember sitting in college, and I could look around the classroom, and I could think, how in the world will that person ever teach kids? You know, I mean, I do sort of think it's a personality, you know.
I can remember taking a young man from the Columbia Park Zoo in Lafayette, Indiana. He was telling me as I was down at the zoo one time, he said, what a great reptile snake collector he was. I go, oh, really? So I took him, Doug, down to Bean Blossom. And we had one favorite spot we'd go back into, that where this hill was entirely covered with old roofing tin. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
And you'd get up there early in the morning before it really got warm, and you start turning over this roofing tin, and you'd find two or three snakes underneath them, and just about everything native to southern Indiana. Timber rattlesnakes, copperheads, black racers, milk snakes, ringneck snakes, you name it. So I took him back there, you know, and I'm kind of checking him out. I'm thinking, this guy's no snake collector. So we're walking down the creek, and he's right in front of me, and I'm watching him, and he's already walked under about two or three water snakes that were suspended into branches. So and he didn't even see them. He didn't even look for them. So I waited for the next one to come up, and he was right underneath it. I says, you ready to catch a snake? He goes, yeah, I'm ready. So I took my snake hook, and I jabbed that branch, and that water snake dropped right on his shoulder. I says, catch that one.
Get it.
He was done for the day.
Yeah.
He wasn't worth a diddly, I'm telling you.
We take so many people, you know, they'll want to go out and do field work with us where we're working with these snakes down south. And they go out and, you know, of course, after the first couple hours, they're complaining and they'll, you know, it's like, I told you it's work. It's not, you know, it's not easy stuff to do. You're hiking all day, you're working all day, and you're camping out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, we've got the last place that we've been working. We had a cougar that had his kill right next to the campsite, about 100 feet from the campsite, and she's done this every year for the last few years. And so the guys were a little bit worried about it because she, you know, covered it up with grass and everything. And of course, we wanted to drag one of the guys out of the tent at night and cover him up with grass and just freak him out. But they had, you know, not a lot of people were getting sleep, and it's like, you know, I'm sure she's been watching us all day long, and if she wanted to do something, she would have already done it. And she's got no need for us. But there's a lot of cougar, a lot of bear and stuff down there. And, you know, it's for some people. For some people, it's not, you know. But, it is a lot of work.
I've been called a cougar before.
the wrong kind of cougar. Those are the ones we don't complain about too much.
Oh,
so.
I don't really bury my whatever in grass and, I guess that makes me old if I'm being called a cougar, right?
Well, I'm not saying anything.
I know.
But
hey, you know what? When you talk about people, you know, like that you've done work with, don't you think the younger generation, the work ethic is not quite there? Not totally. Not everyone.
It very much is that way. And there seems to be a more sense of entitlement. And they want everything. They want it now. They want it for free. They don't want to work for it.
Yes.
And it is tough. And, you know, it's we could give up on them, or we can try to instill that you know, work ethic in them. And people at the zoo get tired of hearing, you know, from me, because I walk around and go, I've done all your jobs. I know how to do that. And, you know, when I was 15, I was, you know, they're all these animals, and, you know, and you can't even take care of three, and they get tired of hearing that.
I see that in my profession as well. And, you know, the thing is, I look around and sometimes it saddens me, because if these people don't straighten up, they're running our country, you know? I mean,
right. Yellow,
they're going to be wiping my butt in the nursing home, and that's a little scary, you know.
Yeah, like, it is.
Well, it's scary anyway. I don't plan on getting to the nursing home myself, but you know, I mean, I look at the amount of, well, they have the mentality of, you pay me first, then I'll work, and if you don't pay me a lot, I'm surely not working that hard. And you know what? I make $38,000 a year, and I work 12-hour days. You know, I mean, I don't know. I do what I need to do the job right.
Well, Doug and I never did this for the money.
Yeah.
That was the thing. And one of my favorite Doug stories was we had just taken in a Burmese python from someone. And so happens where we had the python. It was right next to my office. And the python, how should I put it? It would bite. It was really nasty. And I could hear Doug in there piddling around. I go, Doug, you need to watch out for that one. And just about that time, I heard it hit. And Doug go, oh. And it had him by the hand. And we had to basically take him outside with a garden hose and a pencil to pry the jaws of the snake off of his hand.
Ah, the good old days.
My gosh. I'm telling you. And you know what always bothered me? I'd always call them Zubers, is that, you know, they get so full of themselves. And that really, they show up, they clock in, they clock out. They don't have to worry about raising the money to feed all these animals.
And
the responsibilities on weekends and holidays, what's involved. And, And it's kind of hard to really, for people like myself and Doug, even as a zoo person, I would not consider him a zoober, because how many zoo people have handled a tame tigra? Have you seen one of those since we had one?
I saw a tigra. Where was I? I was down in Mexico a couple of months ago, and there was a tigra down there, and it was funny because they go, oh, you've heard of a tigra. I was like, oh, yeah, I heard of a tigra.
It's related to the wolverine, for our listeners that may not know, and probably pound for pound, just like anything in the wolverine or badger family or weasel family, I should say, it's a bad whammer jammer. That's how I would put it. But, God, what an incredible animal.
Oh, yeah. It was fascinating. Yeah. Back then, it was just, you know, it's incredible things that, you know, that came through and that, you know, I personally got to work with. It's just, you know, if I think back on it, it's just staggering.
Well, we would get in sea snakes. That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a Celebes black ape that... very few zoos nowadays, because now they're all afraid of the herpes virus.
Yeah.
And so
well,
macaques...
Well, if you already have herpes, does it really matter?
Yeah, no, I guess not. Because I ran into a zoo person the other day, and we were just chatting, you know. I was being very patient, and I was mentioning about handling macaques. Oh, we don't handle macaques. He goes, they have the herpes virus. And I thought, God, I've been bitten by hundreds of these dang monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and do they ask women if they have the herpes virus when they handle them? No.
No. I never thought of that.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, you know me. I'm always a little off center, right?
Just a little. So what's on the calendar for Mr. Hodel up?
Oh, boy. Right now, I'm trying not to do a whole lot. I'm working on helping edit a book. It's going to be called Snakeopedia, and it's for 8-year-olds on up, so it's not overly technical, but then again, it's not really a kid's book. So I'm working on that a little bit right now, and other than that, I'm just trying to take it easy this winter so I can gear up for the springtime action. And I'm going to take a trip through Texas next week or so to pick up some antivenom and a couple of other things. And then other than that, just trying to relax and take it all in for a bit.
Well, while you're relaxing, put a load of snakes together for me.
I've got a load of snakes for you.
And, oh, you do?
We got to get them out your way.
Yeah.
And the guys are kind of...
She gets so excited. She loves the back.
I don't get excited about that.
Cheryl gets so excited about me unpacking reptile shipments. She just thinks that's just the most wonderful thing. But anyway, well, hey, Doug, it's been great.
Wait, Doug, are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook.
I want to be your friend, okay?
Okay. Right.
So how do I find you?
Let's see. I would go to Doug Hodel, and I'll bet I'm there.
H-O-T-L-E.
H-O-T-L-E, yes.
Or you can go through my friends.
I found you.
Oh, you already have? Well.
Yeah, I see you. I see you now, Doug.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, I just sent you a friend request, too.
Cool. I'll get you fixed up.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Henry, what a wonderful show.
As always. We need to spend a little more time with Doug.
I know. Well, it's great to have Melissa and Wayne back as our technical people. But Billy Willard did a wonderful job. We appreciate all the efforts he put in for our program the last few weeks. Doug, I'm going to bug you. We're going to do this again real soon, okay?
We got to, Larry. And
I'm going to try and get
your way here soon. I'll drop by and tell Vanessa I said hello. And it's been a long time, and I'll get by and see you guys soon.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Folks, I'll get some snakes your way, too.
Oh, that's even better, and then I've got a bumper sticker for you.
All right.
Yeah. Folks, you've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.